From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Seattle Slough has four lengths on Run Dusty Run. It's Run Dusty Run in second and San Edmund third. They're nearing the finish line. It's still Seattle Slough, and he's opened it out to 4.5.
Easy Goer gets clear by four. Sunday Silence remains in second. La Voyageur, the horse from France, is third. It's New York's Easy Goer in front.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's been 26 years. It's just one furlong away. Birdstone is an upset front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, as always, happy to have you tuning in across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And of course, all of you listening digitally, you're doing that on our website at horseracingradio.net. Win and you're in. Yeah, it's that simple today at Churchill Downs with the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis and the Grade 2 Stephen Foster, both offering the winner a chance to earn a spot in the starting gate of their respective Breeders' Cup divisions come November. You have the Fleur de Lis, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and the Stephen Foster, which will see the winner punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, you're going to hear both of those races right here this afternoon on HRRN as Bobby Newman and Anthony Stabile have the call. They'll bring you the live radio coverage from 5 to 6 Eastern, Sirius 219, XM 201, locally here in Lexington on Hank 96.1 FM, and of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. All eyes are going to be on last year's Distaff champion, Midnight Bisou, in the Fleur de Lis, as she squares off against six rivals in her first start since that stellar runner-up effort against the boys in the Saudi Cup on February 29th. And, of course, now knowing what we know about Maximum Security and the connections, maybe Midnight Bisou best in that race. We'll find out if she can return triumphantly later today. And 10 years after Blame won the Stephen Foster en route to his Breeders' Cup Classic winning season, trainer Al Stahl Jr., is back with another stable star as he saddles Grade 1 winner Tom's d'Etat in this year's Stephen Foster, the 7-year-old in search of a fourth consecutive victory. And that actually brings us to the question of the day. Which horse is more likely to punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup later today? Is it Midnight Bisou or is it Tom's d'Etat? Which horse is more likely to punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup later today, Midnight Bisou or Tom's d'Etat? And you can go to at HRN on Twitter. I can say that. At HRRN on Twitter. Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to cast your vote. Interesting question, really, when you think about it. You have Tom's d'Etat, who is the even money favorite in that Stephen Foster. And I mentioned just on a roll lately. He's just been racking up victories one after another. Then you have Midnight Bisou, an even shorter price favorite in the Fleur de Lis, 3-5. Not only is she the reigning Distaff champion, but she comes into this race in stellar form. That effort against the boys, an international field in the Saudi Cup on February 29th, was just incredible. Only beaten 3/4 of a length by Maximum Security that day. Prior to that, she lost in the Breeders' Cup Distaff as the favorite, being upset, if you will, by Blue Prize, although Blue Prize on her day was as good as anybody last year. So no shame in being defeated there. Prior to that, Midnight Bisou had rattled off 7 consecutive victories. And she's looking to kick off this year's campaign. Well, she did it in February, but kick off her U.S. campaign and hopefully rattle off several more victories on her way to the Breeders' Cup. But Tom's d'Etat, this veteran has just gotten better and better and better. You remember he won the Grade 1 Clark at Churchill two starts ago and looked every bit the part of a horse that was going to be a major player in this division that day. Came back and took the Oaklawn Mile on April 11th. But now I still think some people are doubting this horse. He doesn't wow you, right? And I say that, but you look at his Clark win. He wins by 3.25 that day. You look at what he did his race before that, October at Keeneland, when he won by 4.25. But there's just something about this horse that just, it's not always flashy, but he wins. He's won 10 of 17 lifetime starts. He's banked more than $1.3 million. And he just continues to get better and better and better. He'll get a challenge from By My Standards, who won the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap last out on May 2nd. And he comes in good form. Much like Tom's d'Etat, he's won 3 in a row. So, in my opinion, if you... Look, you can go a lot of ways with this question of the day, this poll question. Because if you look at Midnight Bisou, you say, okay, well, she returns to the races. Yeah, she's a heavy favorite, 3-5. She should win based on that, but she hasn't started since February. So maybe she comes up as a short horse today. You look at Tom's d'Etat, the competition, pretty stiff in that Stephen Foster. And if you're not a Tom's d'Etat fan, if you're not sold that he is the real deal, then maybe he gets upset. Maybe you think both of them get upset. You can weigh in and let us know your thoughts there, too. Just comment on the post. But I think if I had to go with one, I'm going to choose Midnight Bisou. I think she's just classier than her rivals in that race. And I think that class makes a difference sometimes. And I think it does in the Florida Lee later today. So which horse is more likely to punch your ticket to the Breeders' Cup later this afternoon? Just head over to @HRRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. I'll have time later in the program to update you on those results. I'll be joined by Churchill's Director of Communications, Darren Rogers, 9 o'clock Eastern, to talk about the entire card, that Churchill card today, 4 graded stakes. In addition to the two I just mentioned, you also have the Bashford Manor and the Regret. So Darren will be here at 9 o'clock to talk about some of the storylines you can look forward to and some of the other races and horses that you'll see on that program later today. Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup will talk Breeders' Cup Challenge with me at 9:40 Eastern. I told you that both the Florida Lee and the Stephen Foster are winning your ends for the Breeders' Cup. We've seen several of those over the past couple of months, and Jim will look back on some of the horses that have already punched their ticket. Speaking of champions that are returning to action today, I can't wait to watch Uni in the Grade 1 Just a Game at Belmont. She quickly became one of my favorite horses last year, and the 6-year-old mare returns to the races for the first time since beating the boys in the Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita last November. Chad Brown loaded in that Just a Game. He also sends out Newspaper of Record. So no surprise that Chad Brown would be holding a strong hand in a turf race. But he is. Mark Cassie, represented by Got Stormy. That's a good race, that Grade 1 Just a Game. Post time 6:08 Eastern in New York later today. How good was Tis the Law last Saturday? Let's talk about that for a minute. The first New York bred to win the Belmont since 1882, and he did it with style. You're going to hear from his owner, Jack Knowlton of Saratoga Stable, who took time to visit with Anthony Stabile on our Red Brand Radio show earlier this week. I'm going to have that full interview for you coming up at 8:35 Eastern. Some great stuff from Jack, talking about what it meant to, well, he finally completes the Triple Crown for Saratoga, right? Keep in mind, Funny Side in 2003 took the Derby and the Preakness before coming up short in the Belmont. Now he gets his Belmont with Tis the Law. And because of the reshuffled Triple Crown schedule this year, we have to wait to see if Tis the Law can win the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. He's going to have a race in between that. He'll go in the Travers in early August. We'll see him next in the Travers. Then the Kentucky Derby. then the Preakness, and then potentially the Breeders' Cup if all things go well and he comes out of those races. But as good as Tis the Law was, how good was Gamine? How good was Gamine in that Acorn? The daughter of Spendthrift Stallion, Into Mischief. She really did steal the show last Saturday. She took her rivals out behind the woodshed with a nearly 19-length tour de force. She completed the distance, the mile, 132.55. Faster than any Acorn winner in history, and there have been some good ones. But Gamine just annihilated that group. Immediately, there was talk of her running in the Kentucky Derby against the boys September 5th. Bob Baffert quickly said, look, we didn't nominate her. She'll probably stay with the girls, but you have to think at some point she may take on the boys if she continues to show this kind of dominance. That was impressive. So a lot of things to get to today. Again, Darren Rogers, 9 o'clock. You have Jim Gluckson, 9:40. That's the second half of the program. And the first half, Jack Knowlton, that interview coming up at 8:35. After my first break, though, I'm going to focus on the future stars of Thoroughbred Racing, the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic 2-year-old in training sale coming up Monday and Tuesday in Timonium, Maryland. Kip Elzer from Kirkwood is going to be with me to talk about his horses that he'll be sending under the gavel. He has 21, at least by my count. I'll double-check that with him. But he has 21 2-year-olds. Some of those were set to sell at the March sale down at Gulfstream, but of course Fasig had to cancel that sale this year, shift many of those horses up here to Timonium. So this sale is going to be gangbusters. Again, it comes up Monday and Tuesday, and I'll talk to Kip Elzer. He'll preview the sale. He'll talk about what the 2-year-old in training market looks like right now, and he'll look ahead to the yearling sales later this year and share his thoughts on what we could be looking at with those yearling sales when we get there in the fall. So Kip Elzer, 8:15, Jack Knowlton, 8:35, Darren Rogers, 9 o'clock, and Jim Gluckson, 9:40. I'm back with Kip right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The Florida thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, while along the way making 170 racehorse millionaires and garnishing 66 Eclipse Awards. Most recently, Florida bred Starship Jubilee was named Canada's Horse of the Year. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Cigar trying to get him as they reach the top of the stretch. Louis Couture is in alphabet soup fighting ungainly. Mont Sassafras clinging desperately to the lead. Alphabet soup in with an upset chance. Cigar, the heart of a champion, trying to get him. It's alphabet soup. Cigar on the outside. Louis Couture's alphabet soup has scored a shocking upset. Cigar has been denied another victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic. There they are as they came under the line, and it was Alphabet Soup and Chris McCarron. A brilliant ride today. Cigar was hung up wide the whole way. I am sure that was the winning difference this afternoon.
Well, I could have welcomed Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables into the program with a mucho gusto call, of course, winning the Pegasus World Cup earlier this season. Mucho gusto, a graduate of the Kirkwood Stables consignments. But I decided to go old school, considering the fact that we have a win in your end for the Breeders' Cup Classic Division here today. So I said, you know what? Let's go with Alphabet Soup upsetting Cigar in the 1996 Classic, another graduate of the Kirkwood Stables. He has had so much success over the years, and that success looks to continue with all of his horses that are set to sell Monday and Tuesday at Fasig Tipton in their Mid-Atlantic sale in Timonium, Maryland. Kip, good morning. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, you know, Alphabet Soup, I was just thinking about a different thing to lead into your interview with, and I said, you know, winning your end, Breeders' Cup Classic, we've got the Stephen Foster today. Let's take a look at a Breeders' Cup Classic winner that came through the Kirkwood program, and Alphabet Soup fits the bill, my friend.
Well, I'm glad you did. It's a great call and a great memory.
Yeah, Tom Durkin with a phenomenal call that day. You know, you look back, Kip, at the success you have had over the years with your program, and you know names like Alphabet Soup come to mind. And I said I could have used a more recent call like Mucho Gusto, who won the Pegasus and looks like he is going to be one of the top older horses in the country this year. But think back on some of the horses that have come through your program and some of the ones that are always going to stand out to you. Who are they?
Probably absolute favorite memories of Silver, just for her personality and just she was absolutely brilliant. Another Darby Dan filly, Soaring Softly. On the other side, you know, we've been lucky enough to have Three Oaks winners. Plum Pretty and Keeper Hill on the dirt, just some wonderful, wonderful fillies. Cole Front, now it's Spendthrift. You know, we've had a lot of fun over the years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What do you think it is, Kip, that's allowed you to be so successful and compete at the highest levels for so long?
Well, it's the horses.
Yeah.
You know, they're what get us there. And you know, you keep showing up, doing the best you can every day, and hope you find or have people that send you the good ones. It's
well,
a very steep
good
pyramid to climb, as we all know, and we've just got to do everything we can to help them keep climbing.
Yeah, you got some good ones coming up on Monday and Tuesday. They have been showing off, if you will, with the Under Tack show that took place earlier this week. And many of those horses that you're going to be selling, as a matter of fact, all of them really breezed extremely well. And I loved, you sent out a tweet, I guess it was about 9 or 10 hours ago now, and it was about hip number 128, a Pennsylvania-bred colt by Jumpstart, who is named Cut Loose. And you said, did just that, breezing in 21-1. Sensational.
Actually, that jump start, he went in 22-1.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see the tweet. I don't know who who put that out, but he's a very nice colt, and he's got a state bred program behind him, and he galloped out extremely well. It's getting late in the year, and one of the things we're trying to show is that these horses are preparing to go to the races. So we breezed everything a quarter mile and galloped out with them. I was even considering going 3/8 with some or most of them, but the way this track is configured, they come out of the paddock. Excuse me. Too close to the 3/8 pole to get a decent warm up, so we went quarters and galloped out, and I thought it was a very good consistent group all the way across the board.
Yeah, and I can see that 22-1 here on your website, hip number 128 by Jumpstart. And if you go to KirkwoodStables.com, you can click on the link on the homepage. You can watch video of all of the horses that breezed. You can watch them walk and gallop. It's really, really cool. It's all right there at KirkwoodStables.com. You did have a few horses that went in sub-22 time, you are a big believer, I know, Kip, from the Gulfstream sale, of having horses that come out and just gallop when they're younger in their careers. Now that they're more established, we're talking about June as opposed to March, much different scenario. So having them go quick now is actually a pretty good thing, isn't it?
Well, they've got 90 days more of bottom under their belts, and now's time to step up the pace and the distance. You know, the half hours filly, Louise Hennebred, she went in 21 and change and galloped out very well. Same with the hard spun filly. The Tappet colt, who was originally to go to Gulfstream, he breezed in 22 flat and had a tremendous gallop out. You know, these are horses that are ready to go on to the next step, and that's what we're aiming to do. We're hoping the last few days were not the best days of their lives, and they've got more to come.
Of course, this sale is going to be a bit different than many that we've seen in the past because of COVID-19 and some of the things that Fasig Tipton is having to do to keep everybody safe. Describe what the scene is like up there now, Kip.
Well, I think everybody is making an effort. I know everybody is making an effort to stay safe, so... everyone is social distancing, both in the barn where possible, you know, where you used to have two or maybe three people dusting a horse off to get him shown. One person goes in the stall to dust him off, and another comes over to show him. Buyers are waiting for someone else to finish looking at a horse. They're not clustering together themselves. Masks are required in the pavilion. Everyone's temp gets taken when they come in the gate, and you get today's wristband. It's something everybody has to be conscious of. The company has done a great job preparing for online vetting, online and phone bidding, and I think we're starting to see quite a bit of traffic in the barns. And I anticipate there's going to be a lot of people that come and look at horses out in the open air and then go back to their laptop or iPad or sit in their car and bid from there. And obviously there's going to be some people in the pavilion. They're going to cut that back to 50% capacity. So everybody's conscious of what's going on and being as careful as they possibly can be.
Has that changed the way that you need to approach your business and the way you present these horses now, Kip, or is it still the same?
Well, I mean, we take them to the racetrack and show the people what they can do. There were quite a few watching in person scattered through the stands. There's a lot of people watching videos either at home or on their devices somewhere else, and you know, I mean, there's only there's only so many different ways you can stand a horse up and walk him up and down to present to somebody. But they're all available on the internet, and we're trying to do more with that. And I think one of the main things we're doing is answering email and phone and text questions as quickly and thoroughly as we possibly can.
From a buyer's perspective, are you able to see everything you need to see or want to see when you watch a horse on video as opposed to seeing them in person? Or can you maybe even see more?
I'm sorry, Mike, you're breaking up.
When you watch a horse on video, Kip, from a buyer's perspective, are you able to see everything that you would like to see when you watch them on video as opposed to in person? Or is it possible that you might even see more on the video side of things?
Well, on the one hand, you can run the video again and again. You don't miss anything. You can slow it down to see little bits and pieces that might be interesting to you. What you miss not seeing it live is how they warm up going to the pole, and more critically, probably how they gallop out. The videos now are taking much more of a gallop out. They're not stopping just at the wire shortly after it. So I think the videos are very revealing, and I don't think you're taking any sort of a backseat by just studying the videos.
Talking with Kip Elzer, Kirkwood Stables. Again, their consignment coming up Monday and Tuesday at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale. You can go to kirkwoodstables.com, click on the link on the homepage, and get a list of all of the times that each of their two-year-olds breezed. You can watch the breeze. You can watch them walk and gallop. It's fantastic. So head over there shortly after this interview and check them all out. And then if you have questions, you can give Kip a call or text them, and they will answer all your questions for you. Kip, in terms of what we're seeing with the market right now, with the two-year-old and training sales, and then looking ahead to the late summer and fall with the yearling sales, kind of sum up where we are right now as an industry with the sales scene.
Well, I think the top of the market is very strong and consistent. I'm glad that all the Mid-Atlantic tracks are back running again, and people are having a chance to run and make some money with the horses they already have. I'm looking for quite a few people in the middle market to come and look at these horses, possibly just make a day trip out of coming to Timonium and not have to go through a lot of travel to get here. Quite a few of ours have the various state bred programs behind them, and that's always a little bit of a bonus. So I'm looking for the middle of the market to firm up a bit here, but it's also a tremendous opportunity for people. Obviously, there's going to be people that just for various reasons are not playing now, and it's a great time for people to get in. Possibly under the top or at a level that they're more comfortable with than they would have been a couple of years ago or last year.
With that said, Kip, if somebody comes to you and they're new, thinking about getting into our sport, and they want to do it buying a two-year-old in training, or they want to do it at the yearling sales, what advice do you give to them?
Be thorough. Decide early on what your goals are, and then find yourself an advisor that you can work well with and start to educate yourself, and then work with people that your personality will mesh with and that you're convinced will do his or her best to get you the best horse it can for the money you've got to spend.
There's a reason that Kip Elzer is among the top consigners year in and year out, and his program has been at the top for so many years. You can listen to him talk here on the show. You can call him up, and it's the same Kip Elzer year in and year out. Kip, listen, man, you're the best. I appreciate you taking the time here today, and thanks for a little visit here, and good luck with the two-year-olds and everything coming up later in the season.
I really appreciate it, Mike. And before we go, I wanted Sue Ditter, who is running the show for me here, wanted me to make sure I said hello to you for her.
Perfect. Well, say hello for me, too.
I will.
All right. Kip Elzer, Kirkwood Stables here on HRN. That interview brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, that sale is going to be really good. Really good. And those horses that Kip is selling, a lot of big-name sires in there. So head over there to Kirkwood Stables and check it out. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf. When I come back after this segment, going to visit, well, you'll hear from Jack Knowlton as he took time to visit with Anthony Stabile on Red Brand Radio earlier this week, looking back on Tis the Law and his Belmont win. Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs coming up 9 Eastern. Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup, 9:40 Eastern. So it's a busy show. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
On an early June day in 1945, a set of circumstances was culminated and climaxed by a win in the Kentucky Derby. In 1943, just before the opening of the very first yearling sale ever held at Keeneland, a contractor from Alabama was lolling about the lobby of Lexington, Kentucky's Hotel Lafayette. He met a fellow contractor from Tennessee who asked what he was doing there. The tall Alabaman, Mr. Fred C. Hooper, said, quote, "I thought I'd buy a couple of yearlings and find out what this racehorse business is all about." His friend, J. Warfield Rogers of Memphis, Tennessee, had been racing and breeding for some time and, of course, offered his assistance. Hooper asked if Rogers knew of a good trainer. Mr. Rogers said indeed he did, and Hooper then asked if he could be introduced to him. Rogers and Hooper met at the sale the next day, and as Ivan Park strolled by, Rogers indicated that he was one of the trainers he would certainly recommend. The two were introduced and spent the rest of the day together, with no agreement reached between them, looking at yearlings going into the auction arena, but neither bidding nor buying. They knew absolutely nothing of each other, but took the pains to carefully check each other out to mutual satisfaction, I might add, and the next afternoon, August 11, 1943, they sat together at the sale pavilion and patiently waited until the 34th yearling was led into the sales arena. Hooper jumped into the action and quietly and determinedly bid to $10,200, for which he got the colt in which he was interested. He was now the owner of a high-priced thoroughbred. That youngster was put in the hands of former riding great Ivan Park to train, and on June 9, 1945, 2 years later, the casual introduction came to its climax. It was Derby Day in Louisville. 70,000 fans on hand neath the hallowed Twin Spires to watch the 71st run for the Roses on a very muddy racetrack. Hooper's horse was installed, too, in the crowded old-fashioned paddock at Churchill, and Hooper and Park stood in front of it greeting well-wishers as their horse approached. The son of Sir Galahad III had his front legs bandaged, and the padding covered an extraordinarily thick padding of cotton, which stretched from pastern to just above the knee. As he passed bystanders, there was a strong odor of medication. Jeep, owned by Colonel C.V. Whitney, was in stall 3, and Colonel Whitney, nattily attired in his army uniform, bowed to Mr. Hooper by a way of exchanging the social amenities of the moment. Ivor Balding, manager of the Whitney farm, exchanged a few pleasantries with Mr. Hooper as well. Tommy Piat visited every stall and spoke to every owner and trainer. At stall 7, Piat chatted with Warren Wright, who had pot of luck in the field. Wright congratulated Piat on Come and Go's winning the Kentucky Oaks. Ben Jones, Wright's trainer, came up and said, quote, "If we can beat the Hooper colt, we can win it. I don't think we can. His work the other day was marvelous, and he didn't even draw a deep breath," end of quote. The order from the paddock judge came to saddle up. Bandages were removed from Hooper's horse, revealing blister scars on the ankles, and the strong smell of medication was unmistakable. The ankles looked good, but they had obviously been sweated. Trainer Ivan Park's hands were trembling while saddling the horse, Mr. Hooper standing calmly with arms crossed and watching his stalwart. "Riders up," came the call, and the rest, my friends, is history. On that muddy racetrack with 70,000 howling fans on hand, On June 9, 1945, Eddie Arcaro guided that horse to an uncontested wire-to-wire six-length win in rather easy fashion. That horse, the very first purchased by Fred C. Hooper, trained by Ivan Park, had fulfilled a dream. That thoroughbred, my friends, was Hoop Jr., and his owner's and trainer's story provide, indeed, a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Isn't it great when things come together just right? Four Roses Small Batch brings together four of our 10 distinct bourbon recipes to achieve an award-winning bourbon with exceptional balance and a smoothness that's enjoyable neat, on the rocks, or as the foundation of a craft cocktail. Four Roses Small Batch, a perfectly balanced top-shelf staple. FourRosesBourbon.com. Be mellow. Be responsible.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
First crop two-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 first crop juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
And they're into the stretch of the Belmont, and Tis the Law has taken charge. Set down in the final furlong by Manny Franco. Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tis the Law, and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes. They took it by four lengths in the end. Dr. Post was second. Max Player was third. Pneumatic was fourth. The final time, a brilliant 146.53. Sacatoga celebrate.
Well, they should celebrate, too. What a performance by Tis the Law, the first horse bred in the Empire State to win the Belmont Stakes since 1882. And as I said, he did it with style. Very impressive. He'll move on to the Travers, then the Kentucky Derby, and then the Preakness Stakes following that. All things being equal, and he stays sound and healthy, that's the plan for Tis the Law. And earlier this week, Anthony Stabile had a chance to catch up with Jack Knowlton, the owner of Sacatoga. And a really nice interview with Jack, and I'm going to play that in its entirety coming up here in just a second. But that interview is going to make Jack Knowlton our industry star of the week, and I think rightfully so. The way that Jack has conducted his business over the years has been fantastic. They buy only New York-bred horses, and because of that, Jack is your industry star of the week. This segment, this interview, brought to you by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the upcoming major sales. Well, here it is, Jack Knowlton visiting with Anthony Stabile on Red Brand Radio.
Congratulations on a fantastic win that a lot of people feel like it was 17 years in the making, my friend.
Well, we finally got our triple crown for Saratoga, for Barkley Tag, and it took us two horses in 17 years, but from what I understand, it's still kind of rarefied air for Barkley. There aren't a lot of trainers that, you know, have won all three legs of the triple crown in recent years.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys did it together 17 years apart and with New York Breds, and I know that's really the mantra over at Saratoga. You guys support that program as well as anyone.
Well, I was pretty fascinated to learn that it was 138 years since New York Bred had won the Belmont Stakes. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, it doesn't really count. You know, it wasn't a mile and a half and yada, yada. But in my mind, anybody who watched that race who questions who would have won that race had it been a mile and a half, I think the outcome would have been exactly the same as it was at a mile and an eighth.
And Barkley had gone on record as before the race saying, you know, I would have liked a mile and a half with this horse. And he's a horse, and again, New York bred, and that's what you guys do. You've been high on this horse from day one.
Well, I watched him train at Saratoga. I mean, you were up there. And I'd go over at 6 o'clock in the morning because that was the time of day that Barkley wanted to have him on the track. It was almost dark, or she got near the end of the meet, it was dark. And not only did he, you know, have a good works and, you know, work quickly, not crazy fast, but, you know, good works, but the way he galloped out, I mean, they couldn't pull him up. He goes around the second turn after, you know, going past the finish line, and the riders just had a tremendously difficult time pulling him up. Junior Alvarado was riding him on his breezes back then, and when I saw that, when we went into our first race, a 6.5 furlong maiden race for New York Breds, I really had a lot of confidence. And he's lived up to it. One little bump in the road when he got stuck down inside on the worst part of the racetrack in the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill at the end of November. Other than that, he really has been flawless.
Yeah, that sloppy track back in November, he's just been he's been impeccable the rest of the way. The COVID-19 outbreak, of course, forced the postponement of the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and to a much lesser extent, the Belmont. Obviously, the biggest change with the Belmont was not only the 2 weeks, but the distance changes. And you've mentioned the asterisk, and we'll get to that in a minute. You guys, pretty much, and gals, I don't want to offend anybody in Saratoga, there's 35 partners in this horse. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Seven in Funny? Is that accurate? Was that six or seven of you guys in Funny Side?
We had 10.
10. Okay.
Only two of us are the same folks. Lou Titterton and I are the only holdovers. Of course, you know Gus Williams. He passed away several years ago, as did one of our other great partners, Dave Mann. But, you know, Lou and I have
Gus and Dave were amazing
managed
guys.
To stay with it, and never in the world expecting that we would get the kind of horse that we've gotten here with Dizalaw.
And this was an important race for you to win, Jack. Not that you don't want to win the Derby again or the Preakness again, but the Belmont Stakes, with your dedication to New York Breds and New York, and let's face it, you know, in a game where horses change hands an awful lot, you and Barkley have been together two decades at this point. This was a very important race for you guys to tick the box on.
It was, and now we've got one more coming up in my hometown, Saratoga Springs, where I've lived 35 years. I know Barkley wants to win it badly, as do I. And really, if we can, you know, check this box, it would include the Champagne, which is the most important two-year-old race. The Belmont Stakes, obviously, being the biggest Belmont race. And if we get the Travers at Saratoga, that's quite a triple.
And that's pretty remarkable when you consider, you know, you started this 20 years ago as pretty much just some friends getting together and buying some horses.
We had six guys from Sackett's Harbor up on the eastern end of Lake Ontario where I went to high school. We were having our usual Memorial Day weekend beer and barbecue when my wife and I would go up there and visit. And I had been in the harness business, standard bred business, I guess, for about a dozen years and got out in 94. And somebody up there said, well, why don't we buy a thoroughbred? And I said, you know, figuring I'm never going to hear anything about it again. I said, okay. I said, you know, let's each put in $5,000. I knew Tim Kelly at that point, who was a trainer and works at NIRA now. So I got a hold of Timmy, and he found us a New York bred for $22,000. We named him Sackett Six after the six of us from Sackett's Harbor, and came up with the name Sackatoga Stable after Sackett's Harbor in Saratoga, and made our silks maroon and gray, which are our high school colors. So that's how it all started.
And now Sackatoga looks to sack the Travers in just about 6.5 weeks. What would that mean to you?
It would mean an awful lot. You know, the second biggest disappointment with Funnyside after not completing the Triple Crown winning the Belmont was the fact that Funnyside got sick the week of the Travers and wasn't able to run in it. And that, you know, we had the expectation it was going to be kind of the grudge match between Empire Maker and Funnyside. Empire Maker also had an issue, and he never raced again. So that, it would mean an awful lot for me. I mean, unfortunately, you know, certainly we're not going to have a packed house. You know, we don't know yet if anybody's going to be there. We don't know if owners are going to be there, if there'd be, you know, some number of fans that they feel could be there safely. And obviously that's frustrated. I would like nothing more than to, you know, have them jam the 50,000 plus that in a normal year you could have there, and have him hit the top of the stretch and do what he's been doing lately and listen to the roar of the hometown crowd. But we know that's not going to happen, but we'll take what we can get. Worst case, you know, we'll party like we did at Pinnell's for the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, famous Saratoga eatery, and one of his partners owns Pinnell's.
Bruce Cerrone, he's been a longtime member of Sackatoga Stable, and Bruce offered up the opportunity to watch the race there. He put up an extra tent to this restaurant in order to accommodate the requirement that you can only operate inside your restaurant at 50% capacity, and this allows him to, you know, have some extra people in for dinner.
You've mentioned Barkley Tag a number of times in the last 10 minutes or so. Talk about your relationship with him and how much it means to have forged this partnership and this bond, starting with Funnyside and some horses nearly 20 years ago, and to be back in a as strong a position, if not stronger, now.
Well, it's tremendous. Barkley Tag and his assistant trainer and longtime companion Robin Smullen are both tremendous horse people. They take 1 week a year around Christmas time to take a vacation to one of the islands. And other than that, every day, all day, it's all about the horses. They're there 5 o'clock in the morning. They're there in the afternoon to graze horses. Barkley comes back in the evening to check and make sure they've all eaten and maybe check the legs of a horse like Tez. Just total dedication. And as I've said, you know, very publicly that, you know, Barkley doesn't get a lot of big horses. He doesn't get a lot of opportunities. But when he gets the kind of horse that Funnyside was, that Tiz is, he knows what to do. And I think he's proven it. I mean, this horse has won off a 7-week layoff, an 8-week layoff, and a 12-week layoff. And that is not an easy thing to do. And now we got another 7-week layoff coming up. But in each one of these races, he has had the horse prepared to run his best race, which he has done. And we're just hoping that going forward he can continue. I mean, a lot of people have said to me over the years, and I don't hear it quite as much now with the law, but, you know, well, you know, why do you stick with Barkley Tag? He's getting old, or he is old, and, you know, why are you still with him? And I tell everybody that, you know, a guy wins the Kentucky Derby for you. particularly with an outfit like ours. We're the only New York bred to ever do it. Why in the world would you think about going anywhere else? And, you know, Barkley, I'm hoping, is going to be recognized as one of the people that should be in the Racing Hall of Fame. And obviously, I think if we could win the Derby this year, somebody wins two Derbies, there's absolutely no question that he'd get in. But, you know, we'll see. That's important to me to try and catapult him into a place where I think he absolutely belongs.
You talk about loyalty to Barkley. I have to imagine after the KJC, and maybe this is a question better to ask Barkley, I would have to imagine, though, that after the KJC, the phone was ringing off the hook to maybe get a new rider aboard Tis the Law. Manny Franco, one of the best up-and-coming riders. I mean, he kind of arrived now. He won his Belmont Stakes. He's won. He won a Breeders' Cup race last year with Schering, who ran well over in Royal Ascot this past Saturday. Was there ever any talk about maybe replacing Manny, or were you guys going to stay loyal to him from Jump Street as well?
Well, there was, a lot of chatter, and include even, some of the partners that I had that, really blame Manny for that loss. But, it was a contribution of factors in that race. Tiz didn't break as sharply as we've seen him break, in his races this year. So it put Manny in a position where he got stuck down inside. And quite honestly, I don't think that the Kentucky jockeys took kindly to a horse coming in from New York, going off 3-5, and coming into Churchill and taking the big money. So they penned him in, and the pace was slow. He was stuck down on the worst part of the racetrack, literally the whole race. And, he didn't really have that chance to make that big run that we've seen him make going outside of horses. So, it was, disappointing. I mean, we went in that race expecting that we would win. But as we all know, in horse racing, the best horse doesn't always win. And, Barkley was adamant in his support. I mean, we had discussions, what do? We, think we've got a tremendous horse. And, there were a lot of jock agents that were calling Barkley, but we made the decision that, we'd stick with Manny. And certainly we've been rewarded, and he's been rewarded having the opportunity.
Yeah, he has given excellent ride after excellent ride. Listen, it certainly helps when you have that kind of horsepower underneath you, as this horse has done very, very little wrong. And it's great. That's what I tell people. I was like, there was a lot more to that trip than a wet track in Kentucky. I wouldn't be too quick to toss this horse if he catches a wet track again. I think it was more situational than anything else.
Well, that's right. When I talked to Manny when he came off the track that day, he said, it wasn't the track that got us beaten this race. It was a trip.
Yeah, certainly looked that way. If you know how to watch a horse race, it certainly looked that way. Obviously, the biggest difference between Funny Side and Tis the Law, well, maybe differences. Funny Side was a gelding. So there are two big differences between Funny Side and Tis the Law. You guys have been pretty aggressive in running this horse, where I think maybe some other people wouldn't have been. Do you manage him differently than you did Funny Side?
Oh, I mean, we've really been, pretty conservative with him. The same as with Funny Side. We passed up a trip to, in this case, go across the country and run in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. The hope was, as it was with Funny Side, that we'd be able to figure out a way to, get to Louisville the first Saturday in May. So we passed up on that, and that's why we went to the Kentucky Jockey Club, because we wanted a third race. I mean, that's what we did with Funny Side. We stuck with the New York Bred Stakes races, but we got the three races. Barkley thinks that that's an important foundation to have. So then, when we plotted out what we thought we'd do this year, it was Holy Bull, skip the Fountain of Youth and wait until the Florida Derby. Really, putting our eggs in the basket of getting enough points in Florida Derby to get to Kentucky the first Saturday in May. Well, obviously, things went well. He won the Holy Bull convincingly. He won the Florida Derby convincingly. And then, you know, the virus comes. So, you know, that put everything on hold. But now, you know, it was pretty easy. We said after the Florida Derby, you know, no matter how long it took, you know, unless they in some way were going to move the Preakness up prior to the Belmont, you know, we would point for the Belmont, hoping that it would be around the time that it was. And then, again, hoping that Naira would move the Travers so that it wouldn't interfere with going to the Derby. And as long as he's doing well, we certainly would love to go to Baltimore and run in the Preakness again. So, you know, it will be a campaign, really. We've had three races. We've got three more lined up. If the world worked the way we'd love to have it work, we'd be at Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup as well to close out the year.
That's owner Jack Knowlton, Saratoga Stables, talking about Tis the Law. My thanks to him and to Anthony for doing the interview on Red Brand Radio. You can catch that show every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 Eastern here on HRRN, Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming at horseracingradio.net. You know, some people have said, myself included, that this is not a triple crown. There will be an asterisk next to the winner of all three races if it happens, blah, 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 with the spacing of the races, with the distance changes, all of those types of things. The flip side of that, and this has validity too, some people have said it may be more difficult to win all three races this year, plus what Tis the Law is going to try to do to win four races with the Travers sandwiched in between the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes, pulling off that superfecta. If, I mean, look, you're putting the cart in front of the horse here, but if he would do it and pull off all four, that's impressive. There's no asterisk involved with that particular accomplishment. Now, keep in mind, he'll be a different horse. He's an older horse than he would be in the spring, rattling off all three victories in the course of 5 weeks. And the spacing of the races is different. But if you sandwich the Travers in there, and he wins all of those, there's no asterisk involved. None whatsoever. Plus, with more spacing, maybe more horses in those races, bigger fields, more horses to beat. I can see it both ways. Tis the Law, now 5 for 6 lifetime, and on his way to the Travers in early August. All right, when I come back, I'll get you set for the second half of the program right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainsway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of 3-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 4/5, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half-brother to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his champion sire. And buyers agree, with First Crop yearlings selling for up to $250,000 in 2019 and First Crop two-year-olds selling for up to $270,000 this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by 6 black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, 3-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion 3-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. The Godolphin Thoroughbred Industry Employee Awards recognize individuals making a difference in our sport at all levels. And as these past winners will tell you, it's a passion that's never ending.
Being nominated for that award made me feel like a kid in a chocolate factory. I feel great. I think it was one of the greatest honors of my life.
When I won, I was at a loss for words. I was in tears. I'm so grateful and honored to be here to accept this award. I feel like this is a godsend.
You know, it was really humbling when they announced my name. It was quite emotional.
Nominations for the 2020 Godolphin Thoroughbred Industry Employee Awards open July 8th. For more information, visit TIEA.org. Who will you nominate?
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Don't forget that if you're looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any racetrack out there, check out RTN.TV, the Racetrack Television Network. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And as a special treat for all of our listeners throughout HRN Nation, if you use the promo code capital HRRN when you sign up at RTN, you're going to get the first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free. RTN.TV is where you can go. And again, the first 7 days free by using the promo code HRRN. I tell you every week that we use it in our studio. It's fantastic. You feel like you're sitting right there at every single racetrack that you're trying to play. It's a great track feed, and they do a tremendous job. RTN.TV. All right, well, if you're just joining us and you missed the first half of the program, first of all, shame on you. Where you been? I'll let it slide because you missed Kip Elzer, you missed Jack Knowlton, but you can head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast after we finish up here at 10 a.m. Eastern. Coming up in the second half of the show, I'll kick it off with Darren Rogers. We'll talk about that fantastic Stephen Foster Day program at Churchill Downs and Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup coming up at 9:40. Back with all of that in hour two, right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's Ali Dar and Affirmed battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Ali Dar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Ali Dar heads apart. Affirmed's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Preakness winner, the Derby winner, 1-2 with the 16th left in the barbell. Cancel full out. Strike the gold. One last powerful thrust. Cancel! Holds on by a desperate head!
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
With one furlong to go, Painter is still there. Smith imploring him for one more furlong. And here comes Union Rags unleashing a final furious rally to win the Belmont Stakes by a nose over Painter.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, right here on HRRN. Again, busy morning on the program. First half featured Kip Elzer and Jack Knowlton in the podcast of the program. Going to be up on our website at horseracingradio.net after I finish up in just over an hour from right now. But I told you at the beginning of the show that today, at least here in the Bluegrass, in Louisville, is all about win and you're in. It's that simple. You win the Fleur de Lis, you head to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. You win the Stephen Foster, you're on your way to the Breeders' Cup Classic. And, of course, we'll be there to bring you all the action of the Breeders' Cup coming up in November. Also going to have coverage of the Florida Lee and Stephen Foster here on the network later today. Bobby Newman, Anthony Stabile will bring you that broadcast 5 to 6 Eastern on Sirius 219, XM Channel 201, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and, of course, locally here in the Bluegrass on Hank 96.1 FM. A lot on the line, too. And I'm fired up. I'm fired up to see Midnight Bisou get back to the races today. I'm fired up to see Uni up in New York. She comes back in the Just a Game for Chad Brown. And I'm fired up to see if Tom's d'Etat can prove that he is indeed the real deal in the Stephen Foster. That's a good field coming up later this afternoon. Darren Rogers is the Director of Communications at Churchill Downs, and he is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Darren, certainly no shortage of things to talk about, but let's start with Stephen Foster Day. Happy Foster Day to you, my friend.
Yeah, happy Foster Day to you, Mike. Boy, the racing's really been great. And as you kind of alluded to, today is no different. The $500,000 Stephen Foster, the $200,000 Florida Lee, both presented by Coca-Cola, both Breeders' Cup winning your in races, and they both have attracted some of the nation's most elite horses, and really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's not just about those two races. That program today at Churchill, Darren, and this has been the case for nearly every single card that Ben Huffman and his team have put together over the course of the meet. That card, 11 races, 4 graded stakes, the maiden races are strong, the allowance races are strong, start to finish, it's a tremendous card.
Yeah, you know, given the challenges, you know, all of us have been dealt and we've been dealing with over the last few months, you know, clearly there was some pent-up demand, and the horsemen have really responded to the racing product. And as you said, Ben Huffman and his team in the Churchill Downs Racing Office, they've done a fabulous job. The average field size, 9 to 10 horses a race. And, you know, but the racing around the rest of the country has been nice to see them get back on board as well, and the racing's been good. So, yeah, today's program is excellent. We've got a $250,000 guaranteed late pick 5 pool. Of course, we've got the closing day of the shortened spring meet tomorrow. So there's a $33,000 jackpot in a single 6 today, but obviously there will be a mandatory payout tomorrow. The racing action's been outstanding.
Yeah, first post 1 p.m. that $250,000 guaranteed late pick 5 kicks off in race 7, goes through the end of the card in race 11, and that includes the 4 greatest stakes, which will be run in succession as races 8, 9, 10, and 11. Let's talk about those stakes for a minute, Darren. That grade 3 Bashford Manor kicks it off, 6 furlongs on the main track, 2-year-olds. This is always one of the highlights of the meet for me. I love watching these youngsters strut their stuff in greatest stakes company.
Well, it's not often that we're trying to get focused on the stars of tomorrow until, with the Kentucky Derby not being run thus far. So that's a little unusual. Steve Asmussen, who, of course, neck and neck with Dale Romans, each have 742 career wins at Churchill Downs. Steve's loaded. Today and tomorrow, but Cazadero was such an impressive winner. It's very difficult for me to see someone other than Cazadero. I've talked to a couple other handicappers that like the chances, you know, of some others in the race. But Cazadero was just absolutely lights out, and I just think he's the horse to beat.
Yeah, won by nearly 9 in that debut, May 29th at Churchill, 8-5 on the morning line for Cazadero in the Bashford Manor. And you're right, he's going to take some beating in there. It goes through him if you're going to win that race later today. It will be followed by the first win in your in of the afternoon, the Florida Lee. And again, another big name in here, Midnight Bisou, making her return to action, her 2020 U.S. debut.
She's arguably the best horse in the world, and that's what her trainer, Steve Asmussen, thinks. This is not going to be an easy task today. I think anyone, you know, looking at Midnight Mizzou, clearly recognizes how good she is. And, you know, she's arguably a Hall of Fame type of horse. But if you're going to try and beat her, today is the day. She's coming off the neck runner-up in the $20 million Saudi Cup. That clearly was the goal. And this is the start of the second half of her campaign. And she's going to face a horse that is very, very dangerous on the lead, and that's last year's Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress. I think Serengeti Empress is going to dictate the race. She has a very high cruising speed. I think it's going to be very difficult for Midnight Mizzou to run her down. Now, does it mean that she can't? No, absolutely. We know that she's a champion. but if you're going to try and beat a short price favorite, in my opinion, today is the day, and I'm actually going to give Serengeti Empress a tick of a lean with the utmost respect of the champion Midnight Mizzou.
Yeah, that's interesting. Great take on that, Darren. The poll question that I threw out this morning on our Twitter feed at HRN, and people have been voting on it throughout the morning, was which horse is more likely to punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup later today? Would it be Midnight Bisou or Tom's D'Etat, taking the two favorites in the respective races? And Midnight Bisou getting 76% of the vote. But I said that. I said, you know, if there is a time that you're going to take a shot against her, you know, she is the class of the race. But coming off that layoff and getting things started, and I think the fact you point out that this is not the end goal for her, she's looking at another shot in the Breeders' Cup distaff, that's interesting too.
Yeah, and with all due respect to Serengeti Empress, I might be completely wrong. An 80 or a 90% Midnight Bisou might be good to run her down. I mean, she's that good. You never underestimate the heart of a champion, but my lean's going to be towards the speed. I love speed. It breaks hearts, and, you know, especially if I think you're going to be on the lone lead and not the favorite.
Yeah, and we know she likes it there, too. Interesting race, that Fleur de Lis. Again, it kicks off our coverage this afternoon, 5 to 6 Eastern here on the network. That coverage presented by Breeders' Cup, and 5:15 Eastern is the post time for the Fleur de Lis. 5:47 Eastern is when they will run the Grade 2 Stephen Foster, winning your end for the Breeders' Cup Classic. And I mentioned Tom's D'Etat for Al Stahl Jr. back here 10 years after winning with Blame in this very same race before he took the Classic. Tom's D'Etat hoping to follow suit later today. What do you make of that race, Darren?
How cool of a horse is Tom's D'Etat? I mean, he's just getting better as the age goes on. He's now 7 years old. I was a big fan of him going into the Clark Handy. Old habits die hard. It's the Clark Stakes now, and also it's the Stephen Foster Stakes and the Fleur de Lis Stakes. Handicaps are gone by the wayside at Churchill. But Tom's D'Etat is just really getting good. He was a very impressive winner of the Oaklawn, but today's task is not going to be easy. You know, Owendale was a sensational winner of the Blame, which was held on May the 23rd. That's a one-turn mile, and that's not Owendale's game. And that was a very competitive field. For him to get, you know, up in time and closing under, you know, which I didn't think he had much of a prayer at the eighth pole, but Owendale got up. You have to give respect to that four-year-old. And the same with By My Standards for Brett Calhoun, who has also run very fast. I think it's going to be a very interesting race, Pirates Punch for Grant Forrester, who's a big price under Mike Smith. You know, we talked about Serengeti Empress, speed kills. Pirate's Punch might get loose on this lead. Give that horse an extra look, because this horse is obviously going to be underrated. You know, but this horse can run fast, and if he runs as fast as he has in the last two races, and a couple of the others have some hiccups, Pirate's Punch could be you know, at least dictating how this race is going to unfold. It's a very interesting race. I think it's a not as clear, clearly focused race as it appears when you look at the morning line, where Tom's D'Etat is an even money favorite. But I think he's the deserving favorite. I think he's the best horse. But let's keep an eye on Pirate's Punch leading the way.
Yeah, interesting. You get 15-1 on a horse ridden by Hall of Famer Mike Smith, who knows a thing or two about winning these big races. So some good value there on Pirate's Punch. The final race of the program, the Grade 3 Regret, mile and an eighth on the turf. It is for the three-year-old girls. Again, another really competitive race. How'd you see that one?
Well, it is a very competitive race. In fact, I think this is the most wide open race on the card. Crystal Cliffs for Grand Motion was very impressive when she shipped in, made her stateside debut May the 31st. It was a 1 3/4 length allowance win. Previously she raced in France. She broke her maiden by 8 lengths before hitting Grand Motion string in early 2020. I do think that she might be the best of the bunch, but if I am playing a pick five, I'm using a number of horses in here. A real wild card is Harvey's Little Goyle for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott. You know, she had aspirations of, and may still, by the way, had aspirations of the road to the Kentucky Oaks. But clearly, Bill's made the decision. I want to try this filly on grass. If she improves or is as fast as she's been on the dirt, she may be able to win this thing under Martin Garcia at odds of 5-1 on the morning line. But, Crystal Cliffs for Grand Motion was visually impressive to me. That resonated with that victory earlier this meet at Churchill.
Talking with Churchill Director of Communications, Darren Rogers, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Big, big program coming up in Louisville later this afternoon. Darren, let's do this. Let's shift gears here. And we are just 70 days, 9 hours, 34 minutes, and 7 seconds away from the Run for the Roses on the first Saturday in September this year, and I know you've heard that a million times now. It'll be here before we know it. Tis the law pointing for that race after that big win in the Belmont, and some big news coming out on the Derby front this past week.
Yeah, it was very encouraging, Mike. Our team at Churchill Downs has been very cognizant of the climate and the situation we're in, and we've been working very hard on how to responsibly and safely stage Kentucky Derby 146 with spectators. We worked with Governor Andy Beshear's office closely, along with the state and local public health officials, on a bunch of procedures. And we're going to have, tens of thousands on hand for the Kentucky Derby. It garners, reaction when you say that, because you're understanding that the climate that we're in at this very moment. But I do ask that, to understand that we are focused ahead to 10 weeks from now. As you said, it's 70 days away. We're used to holding big events. We have a very unique outdoor arena with 190 acres, including a 26-acre infield. There's going to be limitations and reductions across the board at Churchill Downs. But we have about 80 different, you could say, seating packages or ticket offerings around the facility. And our team is looking at reductions at each one of those and how to properly and safely do this. The one thing that I think we do know is things will continue to change over the next 10 weeks. Just like it has over the past 10 weeks. Think about where we were as a society in early April. So we're going to continue to monitor this. We're going to be safe and responsible. And the Derby has always been so much more than a 2-minute horse race. It's so much to this community. It's so much to the state of Kentucky, where it's, woven into your fabric at such an early age. It's a celebration. It's so important and vital for, not just Churchill Downs, but the local economy, the restaurants, the hotels, the overall scene. So we think this is an encouraging step. We're looking forward to the task at hand to do it responsibly. And, I think it's going to be a very interesting next 10 weeks as we lead up to this first Saturday in May.
Yeah, you mentioned tens of thousands of fans, at least as of now, that's the game plan going into the Kentucky Derby on September 5th. Do you have a number in mind, Darren? Is there a cutoff number at some point for maybe the front side, grandstand, clubhouse areas, and then the infield, or how is that all going to work?
Yeah, Mike, you know, our team's taking a look at each one of those 80 rooms, going through that. You know, let's just start with the infield, where it's 26 acres. If you look at other plans of that have been approved from the state, there's some square footage calculations. And, you know, I think our infield, if you look at the infield, it would be up to 24,000 people. You know, the key word is up to 24,000. Where we end up, we'll see. If the grandstand is typically holds, you know, 60,000 people, we're going to take a look at different reductions, you know, whether it's the box seats, whether it's the, you know, operating the turf club or the stakes room or Millionaire's Row, much like you would a restaurant type setting. There will be similar, you know, reductions and percentages there. We don't have a number today. We're working towards that. But, you know, it's not going to be anywhere near the typical 150,000 fans that we typically have.
Yeah, and if you go to KentuckyDerby.com, folks can see a complete list of the guest safety protocols that will be in place. And, Darren, really, when you read through this, it's taken kind of every aspect of the Kentucky Derby into consideration here. You talk about not just the general admission and fans being asked or encouraged to wear a face mask and, you know, social distance from other fans and all of those kinds of things, which we're kind of talking about now, but right down to the food and beverage and cleaning protocols that are going to be in place. Things will be different there too.
Things will be different there. And we invite our fans, as you said, to visit KentuckyDerby.com/updates. That's where we'll be, you know, uploading the most current information as it pertains to the Kentucky Derby. And we, you know, I think a lot of our society is used to this at this stage. We're used to being, you know, waiting in queues and lines when you go to the grocery store or any other store or restaurant. These are the type of protocols we're going to urge that, you know, if you move, you mask. So if you're, you know, there's so many details in place. For example, with the parking shuttles, you know, we'll have reduced, occupancy within the parking shuttles, and then each trip, that shuttle will be sanitized before the next trip is taken. So there are a number of details that are in place. Again, as we said, we're going to react safely and responsibly. This is very important for Kentucky. It's important for us to shine. It's important for us to move forward. And we're going to do it right. And we believe that the people of Kentucky are going to make us proud as well.
Well, a lot of things to keep in mind and a lot of work still yet to be done between now and September 5th. But I know you and the team and the folks on the government side of things here in the state working very hard to make this all come together safely for racing fans from all over the country and even in some respects maybe even all over the world. I don't know how that will play out with fans traveling internationally, but, hey, a lot of things still to be determined over the next 70 days. Let's talk about the horses for just a quick second, Darren. Who you taking in future pool number 5 this weekend?
I tell you what, you know, if you're looking at it at this stage, it's hard not to take, you know, well, put it this way. The favorites are very clear. Tis the Law is the, you know, when I left the office yesterday, he was the 9-to-5 favorite. Honor AP, in my eyes, is a very clear second choice. And then it's a wide open group. And what I will say, Mike, is that I think that it's going to be an interesting next 10 weeks. I think within the second half of the year, we're going to get some of these horses that are going to jump up, spring some surprises. That's why you see in the Kentucky Derby Future Wager that we have some new names that are interesting prospects that have entered the scene, and we think they would get opportunities within stakes engagements on this revised road to the Derby over the next few weeks. So I think it's going to be very interesting. But look, make no bones about it. Tis the Law is absolutely the horse to beat, and Honor AP is absolutely the second choice. Now let's see what happens as we get closer. As you know, I always like to say that, you know, with our calendar, we make very firm opinions early on, but we're 10 weeks out. So essentially, we're in late February right now on a normal Derbyland type calendar. It's late February. As we know, March and April is when it's kind of decided. So I would think over the next 2 months, the picture will be a little more clear. That's why we offer the future wager. If you find a horse out there, take a shot.
Yeah, crazy times. And, you know, the Derby, usually we're talking about horses that at that point in their career are ready to go a mile and a quarter. Who's going to get the distance? Now we're talking about a more developed horse that typically on September 5th we'd be talking about starting to look at taking on older horses with the three-year-olds, but yet they're still going to be running against three-year-olds. So it's really bizarre. Everything about this year has been bizarre, and everybody doing their best to make it all come together. By the way, a points race for the Kentucky Derby today, the Ohio Derby at Thistledown, which is one of the races added to the new Road to the Kentucky Derby schedule, offering the winner 20 points toward a spot in the starting gate.
Yeah, and, you know, the Ohio Derby is kind of the new starting point for Storm the Court, last year's champion, you know, winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile for Peter Erton. Obviously, this horse is trying to get back on track. This is a good spot for him. I mean, this is a confidence booster type of race. He'll be able to garner some more points. But more importantly, I think they're just trying to get back on track against this field. Very, very interesting field. Mike Stidham's Maiden, I think, is fast. There's a couple of horses that ran at Churchill that I believe are fast. And forgive me, I don't have those past performances in front of me at this very moment. But I think it's the Mike Stidham Maiden, and there was another horse that ran at Churchill that I thought were they were like 15-1 on the morning line that deserved long looks because they ran very very quick speed figures at the Churchill meet, and those might be those type of horses that spring onto the scene. Obviously, 20 points, I don't think that's going to be enough to get you in when it's all said and done, but this gets you on the track. This gets you on the track to the bigger engagements as we get closer to the first Saturday in September. Still, Steph, as you said earlier, it still sounds so strange to utter that phrase, the first Saturday in September, but we'll be it.
I don't know if it'll be sunny in 75. It might be sunny in 95 on the first Saturday in September. But
I just hope we don't get rain, Mike.
Oh, yeah, me too. Luckily, that's usually a dry month here in the Commonwealth. So the odds are in your favor, Darren.
Usually is the key word.
All right, brother. Darren Rogers, Director of Communications, Churchill Downs. As you can hear, they have a lot on their plate right now. And Darren, appreciate the visit here this morning. Enjoy the Stephen Foster. Let's get past today, and then we'll turn our attention to the Run for the Roses on September 5th.
Yeah, so looking forward to it. And everyone, enjoy the great racing action, not just at Churchill Downs, but around the country today. These are those types of days that I think we all get excited about as horse players. So thanks for the opportunity to visit with you, and look forward to seeing you and the HRN team at Churchill Downs down the road.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate it, buddy. And that interview brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget that you can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, a lot of things still yet to be determined there at Churchill. And again, head over to KentuckyDerby.com/update to learn more about all of the safety protocols, everything that they are planning to do with the Kentucky Derby and welcoming fans back to that race coming up in 70 days. It's a start. It's something that's a start. And it's not going to be, as Darren said, 140,000, 150,000, but it's a start, and we all have to be thankful for the work that they're doing to put all of that together. All right, still to come, Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup, going to talk about the challenge races with me, not just today's races at Churchill, but he will look back on many of the challenge race winners who have already punched their ticket to the Breeders' Cup. Stay with me. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top Son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire, Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Racing is back at Churchill Downs every Thursday through Sunday with a first post each day of 1 p.m. Eastern. Although spectator-free, Churchill Downs offers great wagering opportunities with big fields and horses coming from all over the country. The meet concludes Saturday, June 27th with a huge card highlighted by five graded stakes, including the Grade 2 Stephen Foster, a win in your in for the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis, with the winner punching her ticket to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Visit ChurchillDowns.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Duke of Mischief, Blame comes under a ride. Arson Squad, Macho again is forced very wide, followed by Demarcation. Battle Plan down towards the final 3/16. Battle Plan has gone clear now by three lengths. In second is General Quarters. Here now chasing from out of the pack is Blame. It is Battle Plan out in front. Blame, though, is flashing home on the outside. Here comes Blame. Blame is going to take the grade one, Stephen Foster. Blame wins for Stephen Foster. Battle Plan in second, General Quarters in third, Giant Oak and Demarcation next.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Pena coming to you from my home studio. Our producers Lee Delapina and Neil Jackson back in our Lexington studios. And Blame, a big run there in 2010 to win the Stephen Foster. That was Mark Johnson with the call. Al Stahl Jr. trained Blame, and of course Blame would go on to beat Zenyatta in that memorable Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill later that same year. And Al Stahl back with Tom's D'Etat, the morning line favorite in this year's edition later this afternoon. Again, if you're just tuning in, coverage here on the network coming up 5 to 6 Eastern Time, presented by Breeders' Cup, Sirius 219, XM 201. Worldwide at horseracingradio.net and locally on Hank 96.1 FM in Lexington. Well, you heard the commercial earlier in the program for Four Roses, talking about the quality of the bourbon, the way that that bourbon is handcrafted and has been for so many years. Brent Elliott, their master distiller of the year, just does a fantastic job over there. And the visitor center is now open at Four Roses in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. So keep that in mind. If you're looking for something to do, take a drive out there. Go check out the distillery. The visitor center now open. They will do it with a limited capacity. Keep that in mind when you visit them. But here's a cool thing. Four Roses is now offering curbside contactless delivery. So you can pull up and they will bring it out to you. You just can't beat it. The property is just gorgeous, too. So Four Roses Bourbon in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and handcrafted and just so, so good. Definitely give it a try. Jim Gluckson coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about Breeders' Cup and the Breeders' Cup Challenge races that have taken place so far this year. There have been several. There's been one other win in your inn for the Breeders' Cup Classic Division that we'll talk about. A second one coming up this afternoon with the Stephen Foster. And looking at what Churchill is going to do with welcoming back fans, you have to think Breeders' Cup will be keeping a close eye on that as they are currently selling tickets for the Breeders' Cup and have been. They said that if for some reason they could not allow fans in Lexington in November, that they would refund the money, of course. But it looks like if all goes well with the Kentucky Derby, and if our country continues to move in the direction that it is, at least here in the Commonwealth, then maybe by November, and who knows, it's a fluid situation, changes every few days, but maybe by November we have fans here in Lexington at the Breeders' Cup too in a limited capacity. Be interesting to see how all this plays out. So many more questions than answers at this point, and everybody just kind of navigate these waters as best we can. Here's a real positive story I wanted to pass along. So often we get bogged down by stories, either in the general media or in horse racing, that maybe don't always shine the best light on a certain subject or a certain sport. Well, here's a cool one. You might have missed it. On Thursday at Woodbine in Canada, Pink Lloyd, Canada's reigning three-time champion male sprinter, Pink Lloyd, he kicked off his 8-year-old campaign. 8-year-old. With a record fourth straight victory in the $125,000 Jacques Cartier Stakes. He recorded his 20th stakes win overall with that victory. And it's so cool to see him still doing his thing. 8 years old. Now a four-time winner of that stakes race and 20 stakes wins overall. Congrats to Pink Lloyd and all the connections. He's a cool horse. And Hall of Fame trainer Robert Tiller said that he counts that Jacques Cartier Grand Slam among his most impressive list of accomplishments. He actually went on to say that this is one of the greatest sprinters that's ever raced in Canada, and I think his record speaks for itself, and I think he's right. 6-time Sovereign Award winner. Named Canada's Horse of the Year in 2017, Pink Lloyd. Congratulations, Pink Lloyd, and all the connections. All right, coming up next, Jim Gluckson talks a little Breeders' Cup with me. Any shot we'll see Pink Lloyd in the Breeders' Cup? How cool would that be? This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Adena Springs homebred champion Macho Uno is a proven source of classic speed and a great stallion to start off young mares. Macho Uno's runners average $88,000, higher than the likes of Malibu Moon and More Than Ready. He's the sire of 5 Grade 1 winners and 3 classic horses, including multiple Grade 1 winning Sprinter and Miler Private Zone and Breeders' Cup Classic champion Mucho Macho Man, who is now North America's number one third crop sire, having produced this year's sensational Pegasus World Cup hero, Mucho Gusto. Along with Del Mar Grade 2 winner and Grade 1 place Mucho Unusual, stakes winner Mucho Amor, multiple graded placed Bellora, and $575,000 juvenile and TDN Rising Star Fortin Hill. Mucho Macho Man's juveniles average $122,000 at the OBS March sale, higher than Liam's Map, Hard Spun, and Uncle Mo. Macho Uno and Mucho Macho Man, standing the 2020 season for $10,000 at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Kirkwood Stables has a long and storied history of producing and selling winners at the highest level.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset.
Blaine Pretty holds on to the Oaks.
From dead last to first, Tom's ready in the Woody Stevens.
Cofront goes up, grabs the front, and Cofront wins it for the U.S.
But in the swap, it's Funny Duck by three.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup.
Kirkwood Stables, proven success. Visit KirkwoodStables.com.
Isn't it great when things come together just right? Four Roses Small Batch brings together four of our 10 distinct bourbon recipes to achieve an award-winning bourbon with exceptional balance and a smoothness that's enjoyable neat, on the rocks, or as the foundation of a craft cocktail. Four Roses Small Batch, a perfectly balanced top shelf staple. FourRosesBourbon.com. Be mellow. Be responsible.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
They get to the 400-meter pole. On the inside, Arctos, they're starting to shorten stride. All the time flyer has found the front. And now, peeling out is Mozu Ascot. Mozu Ascot peels off the tail of time flyer. Running on late is Wonder Leader with KT Brave, but the favorite has found the front. And it's Christophe Lemaire again. It'll be six winners for the day. But most of all, he wins the February Stakes on Mozu Ascot. KT Brave is the second. Maybe Sunrise Nova just nosing out Wonder Leader, then Time Flyer.
Mozu Ascot punching his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic with that victory in the February Stakes. That was back in February. February 23rd, as a matter of fact, at Tokyo Racecourse. Mozu Ascot, the one horse so far that has earned a spot in the Breeders' Cup Classic by virtue of the win in your in Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. We'll see another horse punch their ticket later today in the Stephen Foster at Churchill Downs, and you'll hear it live with us 5 to 6 Eastern, along with the Fleur de Lis here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup going to be with me momentarily to look back on some of the other divisions and some of the other challenge race winners that we've seen over the past several weeks and over the past couple of months. How about that win last week in the Jiper by Oleksandra, the Aussie bred, who came storming home to win and earn a spot in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint? She's tough, and she's got one heck of a closing kick. Jim Gluckson is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
Yeah. I'm well. Thanks for being here, and I hope you are safe and healthy, and everything is good up your way. Just talking about Oleksandra here for a second, I was talking about some of the past winners, and she certainly impressed last week. She's pretty good.
I was impressed as well. I was a bit surprised by the performance, but many others were not. So I think that was a very, very good performance to move forward.
I was talking, too, about the Breeders' Cup Classic division and that winning you're in later today at Churchill Downs with the Stephen Foster. And as we were coming out of the commercial break, we heard the call of Mozu Ascot winning the February Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse to punch his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic. The only Classic winner so far, if I'm not mistaken, right?
This is the first qualifier. Mozu Ascot, yep, who won the February Stakes, ironically, back on February 23rd, who happens to be a Kentucky bred, bred by Summer Wind Farm, is the first to qualify and for the Classic this year. And, of course, our second one will be today in the Stephen Foster, which, of course, will be our live broadcast on NBC, the Breeders' Cup Challenge Winning Your In series, sponsored by America's Best Racing, and, of course, your coverage later on as well. So we look forward to that very much today.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day of racing. Darren Rogers was on with me earlier in this hour and talked about the entire program, the four stakes races and the maiden races. The whole card, the 11-race program, is very strong at Churchill Downs today. And it's great to see Midnight Bisou back in action and starting her trail back toward what she hopes will be a successful Breeders' Cup distaff trip at Keeneland later this year.
Yeah, I thought Darren laid it out very well earlier for your listeners. It's just very impressive. I was reading earlier this week Steve Asmussen gushing about her preparations, about how impressed he was taking her to Saudi Arabia to run against the males, a risk, but one that, you know, he felt she was that good that she could take on the boys. And obviously had a tough trip and almost won the race over there. And who is no stranger, obviously, as Asmussen is to winning Horse of the Year titles, taking two with Curlin, one with Rachel Alexandra, and one with Gunrunner. I mean, he seems very confident that he could have another one here with Midnight Visu. I also, you know, would say that, you know, you talk about Serengeti Empress. There is this is a track she likes. That win in the Longines Kentucky Oaks last year was terrific, and if there's the horse that can do it with her speed, it would be this on this day against Midnight Visu.
Yeah, she's very, very dangerous. Midnight Visu, I referenced this at the top of the show, Jimmy, not the only champion and Breeders' Cup champion returning to the races today. We also get a chance to see Uni back in action for Chad Brown with her 2020 debut in the Just a Game Stakes at Belmont. I know that's not a win in your end, but just talk about that performance by Uni last year, beating the boys in the Breeders' Cup Mile. I was blown away.
Coming off, kind of starting later in the year, I think that was what made it more impressive, is that Chad Brown had worked her into a position where she was going to be at the top of her game to win that race. I think it's also got Stormy was in there as well. I think that it was a terrific performance. I would also point out we have another Breeders' Cup champion in that race, Newspaper of Record.
Yeah.
You know, who is a former champ, but from coming back from Churchill in 2018. But this is a really tough race in here. So I like this race. I think Uni's very tough in here in a comeback, but very, very good to see. As you mentioned, if I can just jump back in on the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, is that we've had 14 races thus far, and the ones you mentioned overseas, Mike, and we had actually one that started last year in Argentina with the Gran Premio International Carlos Pellegrini. Then we went on to South Africa for wins by Queen Supreme and the Cartier Paddock Stakes for the Filly Amer Turf. And then we had the Vardy, who won the Lorimans Queen's Plate to qualify for the TVG Mile. And then you mentioned Mozu Ascot. And then we had a terrific event, terrific race in the Victoria Mile with Almond Eye, one of the top horses in the world, a wonderful mare. Our first race in America was to open the series in the United States was Raging Bull. Chad Brown trained Raging Bull in the Shoemaker Mile. And then you had Vekoma winning the Run Happy Carter. And then back in Japan, we had Gran Alegria win the Asuda Kinnan for another qualifier for the TVG Mile. And then the upset by She's a Julie in the Ogden Phipps. And then we had four consecutive races over at Royal Ascot. And, of course, one of those winners was Circus Maximus in the Queen Anne, who actually ran fairly well in the Breeders' Cup, TVG Breeders' Cup Mile last year against Uni. I'd like to mention that 46 horses last year qualified for the Breeders' Cup World Championships by taking Winning Your In Breeders' Cup Challenge races. So the series is very popular. Obviously, we'll have more than 80 races this year. If the horse is nominated by the pre-entry deadline of October 26, the entry fees of the horse are paid for, of course, and there is a $10,000 travel allowance that all horses get that who are based outside of Kentucky, $40,000 for those based overseas. And, of course, the entry fees are paid for. And in some of these cases, like today's Stephen Foster, where the entry fee for the Classic is $150,000, that's quite a savings and allows horsemen to consider bringing other horses they would like to enter in their stables to compete in the World Championships at Keeneland.
Yeah, I can't wait for November. I mean, those 2 days of racing when we get to the Breeders' Cup, Jimmy, I've called it Super Bowl or the World Series of horse racing at the end of the year. And to get the international flavor that we always seem to get with those races is just to have it here at Keeneland again, where in 2015 the event was so well received, it's just going to be outstanding. I can't wait to get there. You mentioned Circus Maximus winning the Queen Anne Stakes at Royal Ascot, one of four qualifiers to punch their ticket during that Royal Ascot meet. You also had, what, Lord North win the Prince of Wales, and then
a surprise there over Japan. Aidan O'Brien's trained Japan, but that was, again, a developing horse for John Gosden. That was a very good effort. Horse sat off the pace and then came roaring through the lane to win that.
What were the Norfolk and the Diamond Jubilee? Were those the other two?
Yeah, the Diamond Jubilee, Hello Yun Zane. It was the excellent turf sprint that he won. And the Norfolk was a horse called the Lear Jet. Hello Yun Zane had been actually racing in Australia during the coronavirus in Europe and won two races there, two group ones. Very, very talented runner.
Do you have a couple, Jimmy, that have caught your eye along this road? You just went through all of the win and your ins that we've seen so far. Are there a couple of horses that have stood out to you and you said, oh, boy, you better keep an eye on this one as we make our way toward November?
You know, if we can get her, obviously Almond Eye, when she did not break well when she was defeated in the Asuda Kinnan, but when she breaks well, very tough to beat if you're able to come over here. I think our fans who saw her run in Dubai last year know how talented she is. That would be a terrific. She's actually, you know, well known as a former Japanese Horse of the Year. Should mention, Mike, we have a terrific race setting up to later tonight or early tomorrow morning in Japan, the Takarazuka Kinnan at Han Shin for an automatic berth into the Longines Breeders' Cup turf. Is there. There's a terrific filly, named Lucky Lilac, who is going to be one of the favorites in this race against the last year's Japanese three-year-old male named Saturnalia. Just tell you, this Lucky Lilac, who's had three Group 1 wins, this breeding is very impressive. She is by a former Japanese Triple Crown winner named Orfevre. And her dam is Lilacs and Lace, who won the 2011 Central Bank Ashland Stakes at Keeneland. And her broodmare sire is Flower Alley, a former Travers winner. So excited to see her, and very early in the tomorrow morning in this race at Han Shin for a qualifier for the Longines Breeders' Cup turf. You were mentioning, you know, that 2015 event at Keeneland. It was so well put together. Keeneland did a marvelous job in putting together the race. I think your analogy, obviously, the Super Bowl of racing is correct. I also look at it as a thoroughbred Olympics with so many you're hit with so many different kinds of races, turf races going short, going long, and certain races restricted to fillies. And, of course, you have Future Stars Friday, which is, we're going to our third year of it now, of just the old two-year-old events on Friday, November 6th. So it's changed. The event has evolved over the years, and it's quite entertaining. And you just take a breath. It's just terrific.
I like Thoroughbred Olympics even better because of the different divisions and the multiple distances to the races. It does parallel the Olympics even better than the Super Bowl. It year-end championship for sure in many different divisions, and I'm going to start using that one, Jimmy. I'm going to steal that one from you.
It's yours. It's yours, Mike.
Hey, about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left before I have to get to this final break, how much time do you spend on keeping up with the foreign horses and the pronunciations of the races and the horse names? You're flawless when you come on here and do this with me. It's incredible.
That's kind, because I've been given days by the stewards recently from names that have been botched. I think that you ask a lot of people in the industry if you don't know how you say the names. That's a big help to do it that way. I think that's the biggest question, and that actually gets really tough around pre-entry. When you have horses from so many different countries coming in that you do ask how to say them correctly. I've heard different pronunciations of Midnight Bisou, by the way, so we'll just keep it here and say that.
Yeah.
That you go just domestic names, or you go back and forth with that. So, but it's a lot of asking of those questions to keep up with the names. And, yeah, you do follow the races overseas to keep an eye on each weekend as to what's going on, and just like everyone else does here domestically. It's a week-to-week drama that puts together leading to a championship, and a very different year, obviously, with the Triple Crown that has a radically changed schedule, but looking forward to an exciting second half of the season.
Well, Jimmy, I appreciate the visit here this morning. Keep up the great work, and thanks for the update on all the challenge winners. Enjoy the day here this afternoon.
Mike, thanks to you and your team for your outstanding coverage of racing throughout the year.
All right, Jim Gluckson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Very kind words. And like all of our guests, we'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. It's time for your monthly Kentucky Bred Spotlight. And don't forget that it is going to be a September to remember here in the Bluegrass. Although the Kentucky Derby has moved to a different date, it remains the world's most important race, no doubt about it. Following this year's Run for the Roses on September 5th, two of the biggest yearling sales of the year will make Kentucky the epicenter of the thoroughbred business. You have the Fasig Tipton Selected Yearling Showcase, which will take place on September 9th and 10th, and the Keeneland September Yearling Sale, which runs through the 14th to the 26th of September. And now that racing has resumed in Kentucky here at Churchill Downs with upcoming meets scheduled at Ellis Park and at Keeneland, we salute Kentucky's industry stakeholders for coming together under these unprecedented circumstances and look forward to September, which is shaping up as the greatest month in the history of Kentucky horse racing. For more information about the latest on racing and breeding in the Bluegrass or basing your thoroughbred operation in Kentucky, visit KentuckyBred.org. I'm back to wrap it up right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th of the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainsway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 and 4 fifths, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half-brother to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu, Anchor Down strongly resembles his champion sire. And buyers agree, with First Crop Yearling selling for up to $250,000 in 2019 and First Crop two-year-olds selling for up to $270,000 this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Flatter. This prolific son of AP Indy has sired 6 millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast. He's adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record, including Sovereign Award winner Avies Flatter. His yearlings have topped the Fasig Tipton July sale 2 years in a row and sold up to $900,000 at Keeneland September. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino continues its summer meet this weekend with the $1 million Ruidoso Futurity and $900,000 Ruidoso Derby. Don't miss your chance to watch and wager on the first leg of the Quarter Horse Triple Crown. You'll find a simulcast broadcast of Ruidoso Downs races along with free PPs at raceruidoso.com. Visit your favorite ADW provider to place your bet on quarter horse racing from the mountains of New Mexico. Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino, home to the world's richest quarter horse race, the All-American Futurity. Guaranteed excitement, you bet.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Well, my thanks to all of our guests this morning for making this show possible. Kip Elzer from Kirkwood Stables, that interview with Jack Knowlton from Red Brand Radio this week. Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs and Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup. Covered a lot of ground over the course of the 2 hours here this morning. If you missed any portion, just head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast right there. And don't forget to visit bloodhorse.com for all the industry news and headlines. You can go to bloodhorse.com/Belmont2020 to check out a recap of Tis the Law's victory in the first leg of the 2020 Triple Crown. Don't forget this afternoon, 5 to 6 Eastern, coverage of the Florida Lee and Stephen Foster, brought to you by Breeders' Cup. Comes up on Sirius 219 XM 201. Hank 96.1 FM in Lexington is streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Now for my producers, Lee Delapina and Neil Jackson, for Chauncey handling all of our social media. Thanks to everyone for tuning in and for voting on our poll question here today. Midnight Bisou, the most likely to punch your ticket to the Breeders' Cup later today. I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Go Steelers!